are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Bernie Sanders suffers arterial blockage, hospitalized, recovering nicely. Campaign events canceled for the time being. Meanwhile, as rats scurry off the ship and try to seem human, Donald Trump reportedly wanted to shoot migrants in their legs and build an alligator-filled moat on the border.
It's because I'm tough.
Meanwhile, support for impeaching Trump hits an all-time high, but only 4 in 10 Republicans think he mentioned Joe Biden on the call, despite the fact that he has admitted to mentioning Joe Biden on the call.
That's the whole point, you idiots.
Never said anything once, or did I?
Meanwhile, the State Department IG debriefed Congress on an urgent matter. Could it be the reclassification of emails as part of the massive Hillary Obamagate? Elizabeth Warren proposes a corporate lobbying tax. DHS finally begins to address white supremacy terror threat. Donald Trump seeking more cuts for SNAP benefits. Activists push 100% of the banks servicing private immigration detention center companies to drop their financing. Johnson & Johnson, was it $20.4 million in an opium deal or $20.4 billion? I think it's a B. Meanwhile, federal judge rejects the intentional discrimination claim against Harvard University. And lastly, new studies show expansion of Medicaid, shockingly, made people healthier. All this...
correlation and causation.
All this and more...
exactly.
Correlation, on today's program... no, it was just a $20.4 million settlement for two Ohio counties. So the point is, though, is that what this does is it sets a baseline. And we will be talking about this, I hope, more when I go to Vegas in a couple of weeks for the tort conference. I have heard that apparently the judge does not want people doing any media about it. So we'll see if we will be talking about specific cases or more broadly. We shall see about that when the time comes. This statement was released today by Jeff Weaver regarding Bernie Sanders. Sanders in Vegas. Senior Advisor Jeff Weaver on Wednesday issued the following statement. During the campaign event yesterday evening, Senator Sanders experienced some chest discomfort. Following medical evaluation and testing, he was found to have blockage in one artery and two stents were successfully inserted. Senator Sanders is conversing in a good spirit. He'll be resting up over the next few days. We're canceling his events and appearances until further notice, and we will continue to provide appropriate updates. Look, I don't know anything about medical stuff. I did take AP biology, but when it came time to do the blood test, I had to have my lab partner do it because I cannot stand the idea of blood.
Oh, no, blood.
Exactly. But on Twitter, Matt Binder, referenced his dad, who is a listener of this program, former producer Matt Bender, said his dad had the exact same procedure, was up and back in work within a couple of days. My understanding is that generally the recovery time for this is pretty quick, and but we'll see. Best wishes to Bernie Sanders. Get him back on the campaign trail as soon as possible because it's important. Nobody has been crisscrossing the country more than Bernie Sanders. Really, I mean, since 2015 in many respects. I mean, he was running in 2015 and 16. He obviously went all across the country campaigning for Hillary Clinton. And then starting in January, he was up at it again. You'll recall that it was Bernie Sanders going around to rallies around the country that was instrumental in protecting the Affordable Care Act. People forget that little chapter of history, but there were rallies. I mean, this feels like it was decades ago, but you'll recall there were town halls where progressives, Democrats went to these town halls and read the Riot Act to their representatives who were talking about voting to destroy the Affordable Care Act. And Bernie Sanders was going around, had organized, I think it was Our Revolution that was doing a lot of this, and campaign there. So he's been basically crisscrossing the country now for four or five years.
And leading like the most aggressive legislative agenda in Congress, ending the genocide in Yemen, pushing for health care, getting Amazon to raise wages. I'm praying for him unapologetically.
Well, maybe you should have been a little bit
I should have pre-prayed.
Less atheistic, and maybe those prayers would work.
I'm not atheistic. I'm the God believer on this show. I'm not with all these lame atheists. No, of course not. Oh, okay. God is great. I'm not one of these like, and you believe me, you're not rational.
All right. Well, there you go.
You're an agnostic, right?
Too.
Agnostic?
I am largely agnostic when it comes to God. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's probably like the only defensible position, but I will take the God is a great position.
I mean, I'm sort of, I guess it was a boober. It was a boober who was just like, eh, what's the difference? You might as well believe in it.
Martin Buber. Yep.
Because he's just like, I can't prove it either way. So
what are you going to do? It's more pleasant to believe, and that way you can pray for Bernie Sanders.
It'd be nice. It'd be nice if there was a God.
That was his book. It was called It'd Be Nice.
It'd Be Nice.
A Work of Jewish Theology by Martin Buber.
We're going to get into this stuff with the State Department. I mean, an impeachment in just a moment. The importance of impeachment is being borne out by what the Trump administration is trying to do ostensibly to stop the impeachment from going forward. But it also indicates what they've been up to for an extended period of time. We will get to that in a moment. But first, I should tell you, there is no need to suffer through another sleepless night. Why? Calming Comfort by Sharper Image. It's the luxurious weighted blanket that helps you fall asleep, stay asleep naturally. You don't need to take your drugs. You don't need to take your CBD oil, which you can get, you can develop a tolerance to. I have been a notoriously bad sleeper since at a very young age. And I used to pile blankets on top of me. The best sleep I would get is when it's cool in my room and I pile blankets on top of me. But you cannot do that throughout the year. And I didn't realize it, but it was not the idea of like the warmth. It was the weight. Now I don't have to do that anymore. Calming Comfort is designed with high density comfort fill. It mimics the soothing feeling of being hugged or swaddled, which is if you've had a child, you know, that's the first thing you learn when you take them back from the hospital. You wrap them in like a swaddle.
I prefer being swaddled. Thank you.
Yes, exactly. It provides the exact right amount of weight to help you relax your body. And now they have a ThermaComfort neck and shoulder wrap, which has clay beads that you can throw in the freezer or you can throw in the microwave. Hot and cold, hot or cold. And it gives some pressure on your shoulders. But for someone like myself who doesn't want too much pressure on my shoulders, so I don't like to be touched that much. This is actually, I've started to use this thing and it's quite nice. I come home, give myself 5 or 10 minutes, relax. These days, the stress is just unbelievable, frankly, with the work. So it's nice. I'm sleeping better because of my weighted blanket. And now I'm trying to make it like a daily thing. I can't usually do that because, you know, particularly when I'm with the kids, as soon as I walk through the door, it's like a 5-alarm fire. But the Calm and Comfort weighted blanket comes with a 90-day anxiety-free best sleep of your life guarantee from Sharper Image. Right now, just for our listeners, you can go to calmingcomfortblanket.com. That's calmingcomfortblanket, three words, run together, .com. Use the promo code MAJORITY at checkout. Receive 15% off the displayed price. That's calmingcomfortblanket.com, promo code MAJORITY. Can't put a price on a great night's sleep, so go to calmingcomfortblanket.com. Now use promo code MAJORITY. Also, support for today's show comes from Third Love. Third Love has more than, it's a bra company, has more than 80 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes. Third Love designs bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and a premium feel. We sent out a couple of bras to our official Majority Report bra tester. This is what she had to say. I like they don't have a zillion options, so it's easy to choose something quickly. The fit is great. I usually have to return most bras I order online, even though they're in my size. I ordered two and both fit. That almost never happens. Super comfortable for an everyday bra, but not as boring as most t-shirt bras. Subtle, cute details so I don't feel basic. My understanding is this is hands down the most comfortable bra you're going to own. It has straps that don't slip, tagless labels, not to mention lightweight, super thin memory foam cups to mold to your shape. Best of all, every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. 60 days. That's 2 months. If you don't love it, you can return it. Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/majority now to find the perfect fitting bra. Get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/majority now. And lastly, support from for this program also comes from the New Yorker. When the New Yorker first began advertising on the show, I literally dropped it into a conversation with my parents just to make them think that what I was doing was real. It's sad that it's someone my age has to do that, but...
I feel you on that
Wow,
one.
Wow, it looks as if you finally arrived a little bit.
There you go.
Well, you know, they wouldn't advertise on just any schmuck show. Maybe
that's true. New Yorker represents the best writing in America today. Just head over there right now. You can check out all sorts of amazing stories, some that are sometimes disturbing, some that are... they're always incredibly informational and enlightening, but also just amazing writing and stuff that you never thought about. Peace right now. The U.S. asylum system is keeping migrants at risk. One about how Isaac Hayes changed soul music. Then you've got Emily Nussbaum writes there. She's a television critic for The New Yorker. In 2016, she, of course, won a Pulitzer Prize for criticism. John Cassidy covers politics and economics for The New Yorker. He's written articles on topics that range from the intelligence failures before the Iraq War to the economics of Keynes. Shouts and Murmurs, which I always constantly read. There's one about Instagram influencers getting real. All sorts of stories that are just fascinating. I've read The New Yorker for, I don't know, 30, 35 years. There's a story. Oh, that's a Borowitz thing. Eric Trump accuses Don Jr. of being a whistleblower in a bid to get him cut out of will. That's actually a pretty good headline. I like that. Meanwhile, you can get 12 weeks for just $6. Plus the New Yorker tote bag, weekly home delivery of the print edition. Unlimited access to NewYorker.com, which has 10 to 15 exclusive site-only stories every day. So go to NewYorker.com/majority, enter the code MAJORITY, 12 weeks for $6, 50 cents a week. You're going to be able to access the apps, you get the online archive, you get the crossword puzzle, and more. Again, that's NewYorker.com/majority. Enter the code MAJORITY. Save 50% on a 12-week subscription and get the exclusive tote. So check out all of those offers that we have for you there. We will put links in our podcast description and in on the blog post. Just a reminder, this show relies on its members for its support. You can become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. And not only do we give you extra content every day, we give you the free show ad-free. Also, check out the AM Quickie. You can go to amquickie.com to subscribe, or you can just subscribe on Stitcher. You can subscribe on iTunes, however you normally subscribe. But if you want an easy place to go, amquickie.com. You just go, and there's like three different ways in which you can subscribe. We are going to be taking it off of the Majority Report feed as of Friday will be the last day. So head over there.
We'll no
check
longer
it out.
Be swaddled.
It will not be swaddled. It'll be feed. Heading out to its...
It'll be a bird being pushed out of the nest.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So let's go to this. Let's start with what we know about Mike Pompeo. The more and more we're starting to see here, it is quite clear that we are headed to a full-blown impeachment, possibly not just against the president. They are stonewalling. We now have Pompeo subpoenaed for documents, Giuliani subpoenaed for documents. The failure to provide these documents now, and this is what the difference is with impeachment as opposed to normal proceedings. They have written in the context of this subpoena that failure to produce under these circumstances will be regarded as evidence of obstruction and will constitute obstruction in the context of impeachment. They are simply declaring it. Remember, this is a political process, not a criminal or judicial one. And Congress is simply saying, if you do not provide us this material, it will be a count of obstruction. And it will be obstruction. They could launch impeachment proceedings against Pompeo. They could do it against Bill Barr. And it feels like every day there's more and more evidence to substantiate an impeachment proceedings against both of them. Here's Pompeo 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago now? Maybe wasn't this Sunday. Oh, yeah, wait, it was this Sunday, wasn't it? I'm sorry. I'm confused because today's Wednesday. Here he is on This Week with Martha Raddatz on Sunday, right? Is this with Martha Raddatz? And here he is. He's completely bewildered about this whole call thing. Did you say call?
I want to turn to this whistleblower complaint, Mr. Secretary, the complaint involving the president and a phone call with a foreign leader to the director of National Intelligence Inspector General. That's where the complaint was lodged by the whistleblower. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that President Trump pressed the president of Ukraine 8 times to work with Rudy Giuliani to investigate Joe Biden's son. What do you know about those conversations?
So you just gave me a report about a high seek whistleblower campaign, none of which I've seen. I can tell you about this administration's policies with Ukraine. I remember the previous administration was begged by the Ukrainian people to deliver defensive arms so that they could protect themselves from Vladimir Putin and Russia, and they gave them blankets. This administration took seriously the responsibility of the Ukrainian people. We've provided now, on multiple occasions, resources so that the Ukrainians can defend themselves. We've worked on that. We're working. We'll see President Zelensky this week. We want a good relationship with the Ukrainian people.
Let me read something.
We want them to have freedom and independence. But Martha,
you say you know nothing about this. But let me ask you this question. The Ukrainian presidential readout of the conversation said they discussed, quote, investigation of corruption cases which inhibited the interaction between Ukraine and the USA. The president tweeted Saturday, it was a perfectly fine and respectful conversation. Do you think it's, quote, perfectly fine to ask a foreign leader to investigate a political opponent?
I think I saw a statement from the Ukrainian foreign minister yesterday said there was no pressure applied in the course of the conversation. I do think if Vice President Biden behaved inappropriately, if he was protecting his son and intervened with the Ukrainian leadership in a way that was corrupt, I do think we need to get to the bottom of that. Martha and I hope that we will. I hope that if Vice President Biden engaged in behavior that was inappropriate, I hope the American people will come to learn that.
We've seen no evidence of that yet, but I want to go back to the question.
America cannot have our elections interfered with. And if that's what took place there, if there was that kind of activity engaged in by Vice President Biden, we need to know.
There's no evidence of that yet, but if the conversation was perfectly fine, as President Trump said, why not release the transcript or a portion to the public?
The White House will have to explain.
I think we've this must have been a week from last Sunday. This is 2 weeks ago, and there's Mike Pompeo, seemingly no awareness of this call whatsoever. He didn't even have time to read the whistleblower complaint. He just heard a report about the whistleblower complaint. He did, though, put a clue in there because it wasn't just about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden's corruption. This phone call was not just about that. We should say, and we'll discuss the lack of corruption that exists there. At least in terms of Joe Biden's perspective. But they are now pursuing another theory. That is Obamagate or Hillarygate, that the Ukrainians were the ones who actually interfered with the election, but tried to frame the Russians. This is the stuff that's going on now in the fevered swirl. This is like Gateway Pundit stuff. And there's Mike Pompeo trying to push that narrative on ABC television last week. This is what they've been up to, but we'll get back to that. In the meantime, here's Mike Pompeo yesterday in Italy conceding that, well, actually, I was on that phone call.
As for was I on the phone call, I was on the phone call. The phone call was in the context of now, I guess I've been the Secretary of State for coming on a year and a half. I know precisely what the American policy is with respect to Ukraine. It's been remarkably consistent, and we will continue to try to drive those set of outcomes. It's what our team, including Ambassador Volker, were focused on, was taking down the threat that Russia poses there in Ukraine. It was about helping the Ukrainians to get graft out and corruption outside of their government, and to help now this new government in the Ukraine build a successful, thriving economy. It's what the State Department officials
So basically that was his way of, he's a smart guy, went to Harvard, knows how to filibuster, knows how to bury the lead. I was on the phone call, and then here's a bunch of filler, essentially. That's basically the story they're going with. Now, I imagine most people by now know that the Hunter Biden situation, that Joe Biden was over there telling the Ukrainians, get rid of your prosecutor, because the prosecutor was not pursuing corruption, and there was a hideous amount of corruption there. It also, I think, happens to be the case that Hunter Biden is not exactly a, you know, he's sort of the George Bush of the family.
He's a fell son. Can I just add to this a little bit? I mean, so to be really specific about what you're saying, the reason it is exculpatory, I think there's a broader critique here in two ways. But the reason it's specific, the specific conspiracy theory does not stand is that this energy company is a Russian aligned oligarch who sort of represented the Russian aligned order. He got Hunter Biden on with the sort of clear desire to win favor with the Obama administration. And what Biden did was basically fire a prosecutor who was aligned with this guy and not
call for the firing.
Right. Call for the firing. So basically the reason that this specific thread of the story is nonsense is that in that specific action, he's contradicting his son's interest. Though, frankly, I mean, it's pretty irrelevant. His son makes a payday either way.
Right.
But the conspiracy theory is exactly backwards because he's going up against what the son is hired to do. However, I mean,
it's actually sort of an interesting drama where the dad comes in and the wayward son is there and he tries to undercut the wayward son's interests.
It doesn't matter. Like, hey, son, you got your payday. We're still going to do this anyways. Right. You know, either way we win. And I would say
it's not that serious.
You know, I wouldn't take I do think, you know, structurally, when the U.S. talks about corruption in other countries, even when they're right, that is a harbinger of our own interests and energy companies we want to advocate for. So there's a broader critique, as well as just even Hunter getting the job to begin with. But that specific conspiracy is contradicted by all evidence of what happened.
Right. The Hunter thing is more of a generic type of corruption that seems to exist everywhere, whether it's Chelsea Clinton getting hired by NBC or Abby Huntsman, for that matter. Or, you know, Billy Carter going around and trying to sell off access to...
Man, Billy Carter was kind of cool, though. Carter, I felt bad for him, though, because he didn't have family sign off. He was just like, I was just trying to meet with Gaddafi, man. Why do you always get all the credit?
I don't get the sense that Hunter necessarily has family sign off, too. I think this guy...
You don't think he had family sign off from his brother to... I'm sorry.
What's that?
You don't know that story?
Oh, about the... Yeah, no, I don't think you did.
There's been a lot of things I did without family sign-off, man. Hey, my brother died. What's up? It's Hunter.
But the Trump people... the Trump people are always going to be angrier at these coastal elites and this, normal corruption and this kind of nepotism that's just accepted as the way of things than they are at Trump's open and craven corruption and crime.
Well, I mean, look.
Because they're like, well, you know, at least he's not pretending that he doesn't have mud on him.
Right. But the bottom line is that this type of corruption exists in every facet of society. I'm not making apologies for it. But, I mean, you know, you grow up and, you know, I went to go see concerts in high school because my girlfriend's dad was on the Civic Center Commission. You know, it's like I get.
Well,
good
this
tickets.
Is
whoa.
We all know.
This is a little different.
Whoa! I think you just showed yourself here. Might need to take the rest of the week off, Sam. I got you. Whoa, deep corruption. But I mean, of course this is true, and of course the stakes of the Ukrainian energy business are deeper than
I just
going
get the sense that it was like basically Hunter gets the job, promises them oh yeah, I'll get Dad to.
Well, he did a lot.
Dad shows up and does exactly the opposite.
Well, he did a lot. I mean, he also got an MBNA lobbying thing right at the same time his dad was pushing through the bankruptcy bill.
He was on the board of something else.
He was on the board of Amtrak.
Yeah, of Amtrak,
which is amazing. I'm a trade expert, bro. Dude, my brother's wife's hot.
I just think that I
want to come to an Amtrak board
meeting.
My brother's away.
Wayward family members everywhere, and some are incentivized to do this stuff and helped out more than others. But nevertheless, meanwhile, as Mike Pompeo heads to Rome, apparently Seb Gorka gets on the plane with him. Because someone has to go. Now, understand, here's the point. One of the reasons why impeachment was so necessary, and which I was saying for months, was that you can't just basically run out the clock and assume that there's just going to be this vacuum that remains there. While all this is going on, it's quite clear the Trump administration, Bill Barr, Mike Pompeo have been actively involved in trying to not only undercut the Mueller investigation. Remember, the Mueller investigation's over. They are undercutting the entire narrative. They want to be able to come out in the spring of 2020, maybe in the summer of 2020, with a whole narrative that maybe ensnares Joe Biden, because he could be the nominee, that involves the Ukraine actually doing all of the interfering in the 2020 election. I mean, excuse me, the 2016 election, that Russia was not interfering at all with our election. And remember, the Mueller report did say that the Russians interfered in the election. To what extent they impacted the outcome, nobody will ever know. But they clearly did interfere in the election. And the same reasons why I don't want us interfering in other elections, I don't want other companies and countries interfering in our election. But the narrative they were going to come out was that it was actually Ukraine. It was actually driven by Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. And they were involved in this interference. And they basically framed Russia. And you're starting to see vestiges of this. Apparently, when Trump said, do us a favor, that's what they were looking for. They weren't just looking for this narrative about Biden. They were looking for this broader narrative on how there was this deep state ploy coming out of Ukraine to frame Russia and influence the election and throw it presumably to Hillary Clinton. You cannot assume that they're not doing this type of stuff. There's just so much money and political gain to be made from it. They apparently had a video already cut, written, produced for months anticipating impeachment. And they raised like $3 or $4 or $5 million off it the first day after the impeachment announcement. Fine, they're going to raise money. But this is what they're up to. And perfect explanation as to why this guy, Seb Gorka, would be on the flight with Mike Pompeo, because Seb Gorka is one of those guys whose job it is to build this, basically, this fictional narrative.
I worked for him. Yes, I was a politically commissioned officer.
There you
go. That might be the most accurate description the guy's ever used for himself.
And here he is, I guess, apparently in Rome.
So how interesting. I land in Rome after flying with Mike Pompeo on his Air Force jet, and I find out Twitter has exploded. Why is the left so worried? Well, I think I know. Because the house of cards that is Obamagate is collapsing. The crimes of the last administration are being uncovered, and people are running scared. In the meantime, I'm going to enjoy the eternal city. Time for my cafe affogato and my Garibaldi cigar. Ciao. Stay posted with the latest up-to-date info at sevgorka.com. MAGA, my friends.
You can't pause it before he does the plug, man.
He rules.
This is a huge business for them. It's a huge business. That video got 1 million views. More. This is a huge business for them. And this is what they're up to. There's too many people incentivized to not have this happen, which is why impeachment was so important, which is also why you do not do like a 2 weeks and out impeachment. Because then you're basically seeding months for them to dominate. We're going to spend all our time talking about their fictional stories. And in fact, it's It's been reported that the State Department's IG has requested an urgent briefing with congressional staffers that apparently is happening, I think, today. This is Steve Linick. Now, I don't know anything about this State Department Inspector General. I have heard mixed things. He has reportedly asked for the meeting after his office obtained documents from the State Department's acting legal advisor. Of course, every single person in the management of our government is acting right now. One congressional aide told CNN the request was highly unusual and cryptically worded. As you may or may not know, the House Foreign Affairs, Intelligence, and Oversight Committees have scheduled 5 depositions in relation to the impeachment inquiry. It is unclear whether the State Department is going to allow those depositions to go forward. Volker is testifying tomorrow. Volker was the unpaid envoy to Ukraine, who's been there, who was a sort of a John McCainite. It's going to be interesting what he has to say. I don't think that Pompeo wanted him to speak, but he's resigned, and so now he could do whatever he wants. In addition, the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yanukovych, was scheduled to testify tomorrow. She will now appear next Friday instead. Now, my guess, this State Department IG thing, if it's coming from an acting State Department legal advisor, I would imagine that's a political appointee. I don't know, though. Apparently, the Trump administration is investigating the email records of dozens of current and former senior State Department officials who sent messages to then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's private email. So they are now investigating things that have not happened for at least 3.5 years. 4 years, right? I mean, how long is she, was she, when she was, when was she, five years, right? She was, she stepped down from state in like what, 2014, was it? 2013. So these are emails that were sent 6 years ago. What are they looking for? They're looking for people who sent classified material to Hillary Clinton's private email server. But apparently, the way that they're going to do this is they're going to, they have been told that the emails they sent years ago have been retroactively classified and now constitute potential security violations. This is of 130 officials have been contacted in recent weeks by State Department investigators. So this precedes the impeachment inquiry. In virtually all of the cases, potentially sensitive information now recategorized as classified was sent to Clinton's unsecure inbox. So this is if I was to tell you, Michael, do you remember when I switched my email address? The emails you sent to my old address that I had like 6 years ago before we started our own thing, those are now classified. So you're in trouble for sending those to me.
You're in trouble.
You're in big trouble.
Retroactive classification.
This should really expose how BS most of the whole classification game is in general, by the way, as a second order point.
According to the State Department official, this has nothing to do with the White House. This is about the time it took to go through millions of emails, which is about 3.5 years. The State Department has been going through millions of emails for the past 3.5 years to determine which one should be retroactively classified.
Well, that was, I'm sure, that was a top priority right after inauguration. It's like, all right, and now I want an
Let's get
email
to work.
Team.
Yes. I mean, this is... this is creepy stuff. I'd like to think this is just routine, but something strange is going on, said Jeffrey Feltman, former Assistant Secretary of Near East Affairs. In early 2018, Feltman received a letter informing him that a half a dozen of his messages included classified information. Then a few weeks ago, he was found culpable for more than 50 emails that contained classified information. A couple of the emails cited by state as problems were sent after my May 2012 retirement, when I was already working for the United Nations. So this is an incredible fishing expedition. It's as if the entire apparatus of the State Department has basically been tasked with writing a Gateway Pundit article. This is why impeachment is so, one of the reasons why impeachment is so important at this point. Because in addition to the civic and moral and ethical reasons to hold people to account to the extent that we're able to, in addition to the political value in making every congressperson and senator take a vote for or against impeachment of Donald Trump and nationalizing all these races, it also takes up media space and oxygen that is otherwise going to be used for these fever dreams. I mean, just because Clinton's not here anymore does not mean that they can't still create these narratives about email servers and about,
well, look at the Biden thing. I mean, it's precise, and it's so similar because you have actual, a lot of real material to work with, and then you can mash it up with conspiracy theories, and then you lock her up, yeah. Reloaded.
Come in this fall to NBC show trials.
Come in.
Meanwhile,
I should have locked her up the first time.
Kevin McCarthy was on. Was on 60 Minutes on Sunday night. AOC had a tweet about this, which was, I thought, pretty on point. She said, do people remember how much my interview on 60 Minutes was covered with a fine tooth comb to find out like wherever I slipped up? Here is the leader of the Republicans reduced to a babbling fool. I'm not directly quoting her.
Much props if she actually tweeted that.
But it's pretty close. Yeah. We can't play the video. We're only going to play the audio here because of the sensitivities of certain networks. But here's Kevin McCarthy, apparently too busy. Like, I don't have to read the whistleblower complaint because I know what my answer is going to be regardless of what it says. But sometimes that strategy just doesn't work out for you. Here he is with Scott Pelley. Scott Pelley giving him a quote that apparently Kevin McCarthy was not aware of.
What do you make of this exchange? President Zelensky says we are almost ready to buy more javelins from the United States for defense purposes. And President Trump replies, I would like you to do us a favor, though.
Well, you just added another word.
No, it's
you said,
in
I'd
the
like
transcript.
You to do a favor, though?
Yes, it's in the White House transcript.
When I read the transcript, President Zelensky brings up a javelin is a protection for anti-tank, something that President Obama would not sell. That President Trump did to protect Ukraine.
How do you expect the president's defense to roll out going forward?
The defense of what?
Well, there's an impeachment inquiry.
Yeah. There's an impeach inquiry going forward.
Impeach.
It probably never would move forward had the speaker waited 48 hours to have the transcript. We vote on important things every day, but there are certain votes that are different than others. Sending men and women off to war is the most difficult vote any member of Congress would ever make.
I'll ask you again, how does the defense of the president, in your view, roll out from here?
Why would we move forward with impeachment? There's not something that you have to defend here.
You say the president has done nothing wrong. I take that to mean that you find it appropriate that the president asked Mr. Zelensky for an investigation of his Democratic rivals.
The question before the House of Representatives is to impeach the president based upon a phone call that the speaker never even heard.
Mr. Leader, with great respect to you, and I apologize for interrupting, but these are the White House talking points that were emailed to the Congress earlier this week. Was it appropriate for the president to ask for investigations of his Democratic rivals with another foreign leader?
I've never seen one talking point from a White House. I'm talking to you based upon the most important facts we have. The whistleblower wasn't on the call. The IG, Inspector General, didn't read the call. But you and I have all the information we need. The president did nothing in this phone call that's impeachable.
We have all the information we need, except for I didn't even hear the part about him saying a favor, though. Honestly, like, I had to watch that thing multiple times, and I'm not even sure right now, to be fair, how they edited that, but it feels like, honestly, it feels like one of those, like, what are those machines like this where you load up someone's phrases?
Yes.
And you just press any random button, so the question has nothing to do with the answer.
That was an email the speaker hasn't read.
This was about protecting people in Ukraine, because you can see Kevin McCarthy just totally confused and flabbergasted by the whole thing.
Another benefit of this process is interviews like that.
Indeed. And that's not going to be good for Kevin McCarthy. All right. Let's play one more clip, and then we're going to go into the fun. Should we do the Crowder thing in... Doing the fun half, right?
You got to earn it.
Yeah, okay.
You have to earn it.
Here is... Tomorrow, Volcker will be behind closed doors talking to the intelligence community. We will get back to... We'll see what comes out of that. Probably nothing in the short term anyways. Here is Fox and Friends. And despite the fact that the latest polls show for the first time, impeachment now has not only has gone up precipitously in the polls, but and has reached a new high, is now a majority of people. And it's quite clear, too, from the polling that it was the Democrats coming out for impeachment that really did that made the big difference. And it's fairly obvious when you think about it, right? Like, this is something I learned in the context of directing. The reaction shot will define how the audience perceives what has just taken place. You can have someone say the exact same words, and if the reaction shot is one where someone's just completely unfazed, then this is not going to land with anybody.
That's such a postmodern way of thinking about politics.
Well, but it's true.
But it's also Field of Dreams.
It's
build
true.
It,
no,
they
no.
will come.
But that's the case. But it's basically when the Democrats came out and said this rises to the level of impeachment. Impeachment, everybody knows impeachment's a big deal. It signals like, hey, there's a real problem here. And it's the reaction shot. And the Democrats gave a reaction that was commensurate with what's going on, and the audience responded. And that's basically what's happening. There's a large, significant portion of the population that has been paying no attention to any of this. I meet people all the time who tell me they have checked out. I'm not paying attention to the primary until there's two or three candidates. I'm just waiting to vote against Trump. I just can't stand it anymore. It's not good for my mental health. All this. And this is what impeachment has done. But Ainsley Earhart, she seems confused because she's looking at the polling now, and there was a Morning Consult poll that came out, I think, today that shows impeachment up now at around 46-47%. 43% saying shouldn't, and 11% don't know. And it's been on that trajectory for the past 2 or 3 weeks. Here's Ainsley Earhart.
As we're about to discover and go over some of the sensationalistic headlines from yesterday, there's almost no there there. There's a big headline that'll get your attention. Then you look at the story, it's easily explained.
I think it gets too much in the weeds. I think first they're going after the president with impeachment. Then they're going after Rudy Giuliani. Now it's Bill Barr. And America's saying, what? How are they all connected? Connect the dots for us. What are you talking about? It's just so much information. And I don't think that the country, if you look at the polls, the recent Quinnipiac poll says 47% of regular voters do want impeachment, 47% don't. Our country is totally divided, split right down the middle.
But they are gaining some momentum on the impeachment.
Yes,
there's been a 20-point net change in the
since
opinion.
Before the release of the conversation.
Right, regarding impeachment. What they're trying to do is they're trying to create the narrative, the Democrats are, that this is a lawless president. That's what they want people to think. Of course, when it goes to the Senate, I don't know that many people who think that he would actually be convicted.
I love the fact that Ainsley Earhart is basically complaining that things are getting too complicated for her.
I don't
having to read, like, how is possible is Rudy Giuliani and Bill Barr in any way connected to the president?
Don't worry, I'll explain it to you. I'm a country lawyer, sweetheart. Anyways, there's this Jew named George Soros.
Exactly.
Now, he don't want your friend to have pizza pie shops because he's a communist.
What do you think about that? Do you even care?
If anything, I like this phase of impeachment stuff better because I can follow it.
It's pretty.
Yeah, this is a lot clearer than the.
The Russia stuff. Oh, my God. My eyes would glaze over anytime anyone talked about it.
This is what is really shocking to me. Well, not shocking, but this tells you all you need to know about our media environment today. This was a poll that was released yesterday. New poll shows that only 4 in 10 Republicans believe Donald Trump talked to the Ukrainian president about investigating political rival Joe Biden, even though Trump has acknowledged doing so. Now, 61% of independents know that he talked to 85% of Democrats. So there's a certain percentage of people who are just not paying attention. But only 40% of Republicans are even aware of and accept the reality of something that Trump himself has acknowledged.
That's actually pretty high, I would say.
It does seem a little bit high. I would say probably the rest of them don't think it's any big deal at all.
Well, they probably think he's right about to bring up Biden.
Right. Well, of course. Yeah. Of course he has to.
He doesn't. It's the swamp.
Folks, before we take a break, David, our Majority Report fellow, is monitoring the chat and will be monitoring majorityreporters@gmail.com. And he is going to be putting together basically a glossary of the inside memes and jokes on this show. So that, for instance, I don't have to get emails saying, Sam keeps confusing pedantic with pedestry and
pederasty.
Pederasty,
yeah. Pedestry, oh, new meme.
Right, exactly. There you go. So we're going to have a full accounting. So if you have memes that David should compile, put them in the chat today on YouTube or email us at majorityreporters@gmail.com. And what should we put in the subject line? Something easy. What? Yeah, just put memes. M-E-M-E-S in the subject line. That way we can find them, pull them out of the majorityreporters@gmail.com mailbox.
My mom's going to be so happy.
Right, there it is. It's going to be a study guide. Basically, it's going to be like a cheat sheet.
David Dane, I don't want to be a pederast here.
Right, exactly.
But is Pelosi really thinking this through?
That's not the right usage. Even of the wrong usage. In the fun half.
Yeah.
In the fun half,
Found glass houses.
In the fun half, we will go over this Crowder thing. I've been promising to drop this. We have both written and audio examples of Steven Crowder apparently having a problem debating me in any forum, meeting me in any forum, because I guess I'm not a college student who was not aware that he was going to be around and run into him on a booth, because that's what apparently he can handle. We will talk about that in the fun half. In the meantime, join themajorityreport.com. You can become a member, support this show. You get extra content, and you get a commercial-free every day. Sign up for the AM Quickie. Look on any of your podcast apps, AM Quickie, or go to amquickie.com to sign up. JustCoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Today is Wednesday, so yesterday was Tuesday. Michael, what were you doing on Rosh Hashanah?
Happy New Year, Sam.
Thank you.
On last night's... Exactly.
That is actually what the shofar is for, right?
Well, I mean, it announces a lot of different things, but the shofar definitely brings in the new year.
It's to be using put the in holiday. Rahm Emanuel's yes. face. Look up that picture. Very funny. Have you seen that picture?
I don't know if I have.
Someone blowing a shofar in Rahm Emanuel's face and him flinching. It's pretty funny. Last night on TMBS, there was a guide to all of the political factions inside Israel and Palestine. How does power work inside both the occupied territories and Gaza, but also inside Israel itself, and why basically there's no political faction in Israel besides the joint list that will do anything about apartheid in Israel. Anna Kasparian made the case for impeachment. We talked about the need for no BS single-payer Medicare for all, and did a deep dive on Haiti and, you know, a whole bunch of other stuff. Patreon.com/TMBS, Michael Brooks Show on YouTube, and get your tickets to the Philadelphia live show, World Cafe, November 23rd, Crystal Ball, Artesia Balthrop, and Emma Viglin. No age cap on this show, so it's not a 21 and over show, so everybody can get your tickets to World Cafe, November 23rd, week before Thanksgiving. Don't worry, no logistical problems. We're excited to see you there.
Jamie!
This week on the Antifada, we speak with Nadia Guyot, an organizer from No New Jails NYC, about Bill de Blasio's horrible plan to replace Rikers Island with these supposedly more humane boroughs-based jails, or I'm sorry, justice hubs, where you can, it's like a jail combined with a shopping center, and you can get an acai bowl served to you by someone making 10 cents an hour. Like, it's going to be great. Just kidding, it's going to be terrible. So we talked about that. Yeah, it's nuts, right? And yeah, I'm excited about this episode. It's out now. Also on Friday, I have a new Vampire Castle with Leslie Lee III from Struggle Session out for our patrons, wherein we talk about the Crow movies, the Crow, the first one, as well as the sequel, the Crow City of Angels, which is not as good as the first one, but pretty funny to talk about. Also, we have our live show coming up October 12th at Littlefield, NYC. So get your tickets. We've got the Antifada. We've got Pod Damn America. We've got Leslie Lee III, the aforementioned king of pop culture. Virgil Texas and Matt Chrisman from Chapo Trap House. Simone Norman, a very funny comedian, and a live drag performance from Comrade Barbie.
Man, that's jam-packed.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be like a 20-hour show.
It's going to be two, but I look forward to your drag performance, Sam.
I'm working on
people,
it.
People
my
are
name
asking.
Is Sheila Tenenbaum. It's my alter ego. It'd be great.
People
Sam's
are
drag performance.
Sheila?
Just like some annoying secretary. Like, you don't have all your forms.
Some people
that's totally
that.
Sam.
If I could sing, I would probably do something like
could
that,
you get up, sir? You didn't call when your number. You didn't come when your number was called. You need to go back to the end of the line. Sam's drag performance as
mean
a woman
clerk.
At the DMV.
Yes.
Yeah, Literary Hangover, I did a solo episode on the 19th century feminist and abolitionist Lydia Maria Child. She wrote the first anti-slavery work in book form. I talk about her book that she wrote when she was in her early 20s that sort of illuminates the connection between patriarchy and white supremacy, because Mary Conant is not allowed to marry an Episcopalian by her Puritan father, so she goes and marries a Native American, and so it's very scandalous literature for the 1823. So check that out. 1824.
Quick break. Fun half.
Left is best.
Jamie and I may have a disagreement.
Yeah, you can't just say whatever you want about people just because you're rich.
I have an absolute right to mock them on YouTube.
He's up there buggy whipping like he's the boss.
I am not your employer.
You know, I'm tired of the negativity.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. You're nervous. You're a little bit upset. You're riled up.
Yeah, maybe you should rethink your defense of that, you fucking idiots.
We're just going to get rid of you.
All right.
But dude.
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 You want to smoke this joint?
Yes.
Do you feel like you are a dinosaur?
Some good shit.
Exactly. I'm happy now.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now listen to me. 2, 3, 4, 5 times. 847-906-501-457. 2, 38, 56, 27. 1/2, 5/8, 3.9 billion.
Wow.
He's the ultimate math nerd,
don't you see?
Why don't you get a real job instead of spewing vitriol and hatred, you left-wing Limbaugh?
Everybody's taking their dumb juice today.
Come on, Sammy.
Dance, dance, dance.
Ooh. Grandpa.
I had my first post-coital scene with a woman. I'm hoping to add more moves to my repertoire. All I have is the dip and the swirl.
Fine, we can double dip.
Yes, this is a perfect moment.
No.
Wait, what?
You make under $1 million a year. You're scum. You're nothing.
Excuse me? Fuck you, you fucking liberal elite. I think you belong in jail.
Thank you for saying that, Sam. You're a horrible, despicable person.
All right, gonna take a quick break. I want to take a moment to talk to some of the libertarians out there. Take whatever vehicle you want to drive to the library. What you're talking about is jibber jab.
Classic. I'm feeling more chill already.
Good.
Donald Trump can kiss all of our asses.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Andy. You guys ready to do some evil?
Hitler was such an idiot.
You think I might be a Nazi?
Agree.
No.
Death to America.
You.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's weird. No way! Unbelievable. This guy's got a really good hook.
Throw our hands up.
Ooh.
Wow.
But Sam, I gotta get off.
No worries. I wanna just flesh this out a little bit. I mean, look, it's a free speech issue. If you don't like me...
Hey, shut up!
Thank you for calling into the Majority Report. Sam will be with you shortly.
Hey, folks, I'm sleeping better thanks to Calm and Comfort by Sharper Image. It's the luxurious weighted blanket. It's made with super soft velveteen material. It's got high density comfort fill that mimics the feeling of being hugged. And it relaxes, frankly, my body. Makes me sleep better. Calm and Comfort weighted blanket comes with a 90-day anxiety-free guarantee from Sharper Image. Right now, our listeners can go to calmandcomfortblanket.com, use the promo code MAJORITY at checkout, receive 15% off the displayed price. Again, that's calmandcomfortblanket.com, promo code MAJORITY. Can't put a price on a great night's sleep, so go to calmandcomfortblanket.com, use the promo code MAJORITY.